Romans chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongue do they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Jump down to verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tonight, for a little bit, we're going to talk about sin. And I am just like you. I hate talking about sin. I hate thinking about sin. I hate hearing and reading the Word of God telling me how much of a sinner I am. I don't enjoy it in my flesh. I absolutely hate it. But I have to be reminded of it, because if I don't remember that I have sin and that I am a sinner, guess what? I will get so deep dark into sin that I'll even forget that I was a sinner at all. I will get so caught up in myself thinking I am better than everybody else. You are not. Every single person on the earth is a sinner, including you. You might think you're better. You might think you've done great, all this good stuff. But read these verses right here. Turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would, that do I. In your flesh, there is nothing good about you. In your flesh, on our basis, we have nothing good. The only time you will ever have anything good about you is when God is in your heart and you are surrendering to that Spirit. Other than that, you are nothing before God. You are sinful. You are deserving. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are full of sin and you deserve death. So before we get anywhere else, it's important to know that, because the book of Luke talks about they that are whole need not a physician. If you don't admit you have a problem, guess what? You'll never admit that you need God. And every single person, whether you were lost or saved, will need God at some point. Because you might be lost, you'll need to ask God for salvation. If you don't know you're a sinner, if you're not willing to admit, then how can you ask for salvation? Because you don't need it. If you're a saved child of God and you don't admit you have sin in your life, you don't admit that you are capable of that sin, guess what? You'll never ask for forgiveness of God. And you will never forgive. There's a whole lot of things. We're not even going to touch the surface. A whole lot of things that can happen the second you start thinking, I'm okay. I don't need God. I'm okay. I'm not a sinner. Go look at David, a man after God's own heart. Three decisions to not go to war, to go to his rooftop, and to commit a sin with Bathsheba led to a whole myriad of problems, culminating in his family never having peace, his losing a child, and him having a rough life for the rest of his life, and a lot of things. Go read David's life afterwards and see everything that happened with his family. Three decisions led to that. How many times do we make decisions and we are so far away from God that we don't even know where he's at? We are so caught in the darkness. It can happen to you. You have to be careful of it. Admit that you're a sinner. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You are a sinner. God made it as clear as day. We've read, four or five verses that have literally called you out and said, everyone's a sinner. That's what you are. Quit trying to fight it. You can't fight God. You know, we go read, turn to Acts. It's one of my favorite verses to read. Acts chapter 5, verse 39. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. This is taking this verse a little out of context here, but it's just to show the point. How many of you want to fight God? How many of us want to sit there and say, yeah, I'm willing to go fight against God? God does not lose. You look at the track record of everything, God will never lose. So if you want to sit here and say you're not a sinner and fight God, good luck, you're going to lose. It might not look like it right now, you will lose. Go read the Bible. He never loses. And again, I think about this. Jesus Christ came to earth, became a man, died on the cross for your sins, and guess what? God didn't lose in that. He won. At the best that Satan will ever do is Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and God still won out of that. So you're not going to win. So don't fight against God. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You might ask the question, well, what is sin? It's breaking God's law. You know who gets to decide what sin is? God. I don't get to decide what sin is. I don't get to look and say, well, I don't think that's as bad as that is. You know, I don't think a white lie or, you know, whatever X, Y, and Z, fill in the blank. You might not think that's a sin. If God says it's a sin, it's a sin. You don't get to decide. God makes the rules. Why? Because he created everything. Go read Genesis. He created everything. By him, all things consist. Turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for you're also his offspring. Guess what? In him we live and move and have our being. Without God, we wouldn't be alive. We wouldn't be around here. So God gets to make the rules. Parents, you made the child. You get to make the rules. God is the father. He gets to make the rules. So we're going to look at some examples. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. We look at here, a couple examples. Proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Do you realize God just equate lying to murder? But how many of us lie on a daily basis? Well, you would never go murder somebody. Guess what? God just said lying is equal to murder. Sin is sin, regardless of what you think it is. Whether you think, well, I'm not that bad. That person sins more than I do. No. If you sin, you are a sinner. If they sin, they are a sinner. You're not better because you committed less sin. You're still a sinner. That's what God said right here. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we'll start in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of our fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep the commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Sign up. God's people should be the last people in the world to take the Lord's name in vain. But think about it. How many times comes across our mind? We think about it. We just want to say it. We might bite our tongue. Guess what? If you're saying it in your head, you're saying it out loud. God's people should be the last people to take the Lord's name in vain. That's total side note, pet peeve, that's it. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou work and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Go read, again, I want you to think, read these verses 1 through 17, and tell me that you have not done one of these in the last week. You can't do it. I can't do it. I can look at, well, you know, maybe I didn't kill anybody, but how about the last time you coveted? When you really wanted to take something from somebody else? When was the last time you remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy? We don't have to observe the Sabbath. We don't have a special day, Saturday. When was the last time you went to church on Sunday fully prepared to worship God? Think about that one. That's not that big of a deal. It's okay. You can miss every once in a while. Think about how seriously God took it back in the Old Testament, and tell me he doesn't take it the same exact seriousness in the New Testament. Just because God's not killing us anymore doesn't mean he hates sin any less. Just because you're not getting stripped down, you know, we're not Nadab and Abihu dying right before us, and, you know, go read that account. Aaron was told not to even mourn them because of what they did. Imagine if we started dying for the sin that we committed against God. Imagine how many of us would be dead in the doorway tonight because we didn't prepare ourselves. God takes it seriously, just as he did back then. Turn to Isaiah 59. Hold, before we go to Isaiah 59, Romans chapter 8. You know, we read a couple examples. There's literally, I have 8 different other passages where we can go out that name just a few sins. You think about it. You know what sin is. You might change it in your mind. You might think, well, that's not truly it. You can make excuses. Your excuses won't matter when you stand before God. You might think, oh, I don't believe it. God says, I don't care what you believe. I told you not to do that. Don't do it. Parents, if your kid said, well, I didn't think you meant that, do they get punished any less? No, they still get punished. God will still punish you for your sin. You might not, it might not be right away. It might take some time, but guess what? It's going to happen. Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. You will answer to God for your sin either in this life or the next one. And just because God's not killing anymore doesn't mean he still won't hit you with your own sin. Romans chapter 8, we'll start in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 8 hits me more than I think any other verse in the Bible does. Because if I'm in my flesh, I cannot please God. Or Ecclesiastes, hold your finger here in Romans, turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Your whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. You can't do that if you are sinful, if you are in your flesh. That means you can waste a lifetime in your flesh thinking I'm serving God and God will say you are worthless to me. How scary is that? And yet, we hear these verses all the time. We've heard Romans chapter 8 probably 6 times in the last month, I can think of, between Bible studies, between preacher school, between preaching, stuff like that. We've heard these verses, but we don't care. If you are so caught up in your sin, you're away from God and you're not pleasing to God, you don't care about God. Sin separates. Sin will take you away from God. Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. We don't fully understand how bad sin is. We don't fully understand that God doesn't make exceptions for you. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. One thing I've been thinking a lot about is the mercy of God, God's forgiveness. Well, I love 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that verse. But you can't read that verse without reading Matthew 6:14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know what that means? If you're holding a grudge, if you're so bitter and you can't let things go, God will not forgive you of your sin. You can beg and plead until you get rid of that. You will be against God, and God will not be with you. You can live. I strongly believe bitterness is probably the most dangerous thing that God's people can get caught up into, because you can let it sit there for lifetimes. There are people in my family who have let bitterness hold on to them, and their life is driven by that bitterness and anger. Get rid of it. It's not going to be beneficial to you. So you want the forgiveness of God? You want 1 John 1:9 to apply to you? You have to forgive others. Well, they did this, they did that. You sinned against God and God forgave you. Why are you any better than God? You're not. So why do we pretend to be? You're not better than God. God's the one that's better. If God can forgive, you can forgive. Turn to Genesis. Genesis 45, you know, looking at Joseph, we go read the story of Joseph. Joseph's life, he had a rough life. It all started when his brothers said, we're going to kill you. No, we're not going to kill you. We'll just send you into slavery. We're done with you. We don't want you in our lives. Joseph gets to a point of position of power. He has his brothers at the mercy of his hands. He could say, kill him. He could say, starve him. He could say whatever he wanted. And you see here, Genesis 45, starting verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him and cried, because every man to go out from him, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near me, I pray you. And they came near him. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me thither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. We won't keep reading. You see, Joseph, he doesn't get angry. He doesn't get bitter. He doesn't hate his brothers. What he says, come on, I'm going to take care of you. Everybody get over here. I want my family here with me to the rest of my life. How many of us could look at somebody who did something that terrible and say, I want to spend life with you. I forgive you. I don't care. Let's be family again. Joseph could do it. Do you think Joseph did this on his own? He was just that good of a guy? No, he said, verse 5, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He realized with God, he could forgive his brothers. He did it with God. You can't get rid of sin on your own. You need God's help. You need to repent. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What you need to do, you need to humble yourself, you need to pray, and you need to repent. And God can heal your land. God can take those problems. God can take the anger. God can take whatever is holding you back and get rid of it. Guess what? That's what he did at salvation. He took everything that you're holding on to, all that sin, and said, it's gone. Be done with it. If God can do that at salvation, why can't he do that afterwards? It's because we don't let him. Because we think God will be okay with my sin. Or I'm okay with where I am with God. We're going to stand before God in judgment. Can you honestly say you're ready to stand before God in the gall of bitterness and sin that we're in? Brother Reagan, he preached a message, I think it was Sunday night. Are you sure? Are you sure you're happy with your decisions right now? Are you sure that you're okay? Turn to Psalm 66. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Are you okay that you will never get to be heard by God? Your prayers will never get answered by God? You could be in the worst position of your life begging to God, and God said, I won't hear you. Because of the sin in your life. Are you okay with that? You shouldn't be. Amen. It should terrify us how quickly we can go away from God and just be okay with it. That should scare us, but I don't think it really does as much as it should. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just me. We should be terrified about how much we let sin into our lives. How much we let ourselves get away from God and not even realize it till it's far too late. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. How many of us are in this position right now where God will hide his eyes from us? We go, we pray to God, we try to serve God, and he doesn't want it. He doesn't want you. You know, I think of that verse in Hebrews where it's, turn to Hebrews 11. I don't want to butcher it. Hebrews 11 and verse 16. But now they desire a better country that is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. If you are so caught up in your sin, guess what? God is ashamed to be called your God. God looks at us and says, I'm ashamed of you. I don't want you. How many times did God tell Israel, I don't want you. Go away from me. God doesn't treat sin the same way now. We're under grace. We're under the mercy of God. Just because God's merciful and we're under grace doesn't mean his standards have changed at all. Amen. We just take advantage of that. But remember, go read I think it's Matthew or Luke. It says, do not tempt God. Why do we tempt God so often and think, well, how far can I get before God does something? Do you really want to tempt God with your life? Do you really want to tempt God with your family? Do you really want to tempt God with all that you have? Because he might not get you. He might get your loved ones. He might not get you right now. You might suffer at the end of your life. You know, think about it. Death isn't the worst thing to happen to you. You know what? Death would be okay. I would be okay with dying because I know where I'm going to be with God. You know what would be terrible? Getting cancer. You know what would be terrible? You know, just a miserable life. Being broken down, being to the point where you can't do anything. Do you really think that God can't ruin your life and not kill you? You know what would be terrible? If Lord Terry's is coming, Malachi, my son, walks away from God because of the example that I set for him. That should terrify us. But to avoid that, guess what we have to do? We have to get rid of sin. We have to go to God. Turn to 1 John. I quote it multiple times to you, but we're just going to read it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know what? You're a sinner. Get over it. It's the truth. Ask God for forgiveness and get away from it. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he hath raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, ye are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For they have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness that we... The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering in this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Okay. You know, we keep reading, but guess what? If you are saved, you don't have to follow the flesh. You can follow the Spirit. And when you're in the Spirit, guess what you can't do? You can't sin when you're in the Spirit. There's verses that says, if you're following the Spirit, if you're living in the Spirit, you won't sin. That Spirit can't sin. You know what? You don't have to live a miserable life. You don't have to be bitter. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to let sin ruin your life. Amen. You can get rid of it. You can be done with it and move on and live a life for God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1 again. Isaiah 1, we read verse 15, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will hear your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, from the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You know what you can do? You can repent, you can get forgiven, and you can get that white, it says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God can make you clean again. You don't have to live life full of sin. David repented, and guess what? God cleaned up David. David didn't have to worry about that sin with Bathsheba anymore. He still had to suffer the consequences, but he was right with God. When was the last time you knew you were right with God? Think about that. When was the last time God actually forgave you because you gave it up? You got rid of the sin. When was the last time you were pleasing to God? I hope and pray everybody can say, well, right now. I'm not going to be naive enough to say that everyone can say that right now. You can, though. That's a great thing. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jump down to verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. You know what the Lord doesn't like to do? Lord doesn't like to punish. God doesn't, it says he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth. You know what God probably wishes he could do? I'm not going to speak for God, but I'm pretty sure he wishes that everybody would just live a life following him, and he wouldn't have to punish sin. You know, I know for a fact, because when we leave, when we go to heaven, in eternity, guess what? There's going to not be any sin around God. God's going to get rid of that sin. God wants that now. He doesn't enjoy punishing. Parents, do you enjoy punishing your kids? It should grieve you at your heart to punish your kid. You don't think God gets grieved when he says, I have to punish you again. Don't put him in a position to do that. He doesn't want to do it. And why do we like to get punished by God? Well, I don't like to do that. You might say you don't want it. If you're living a life full of sin, if you're not willing to get your sin taken care of, yes, you do. And at that point, if you're so caught up in your sin that you don't want to ever get it right, what are you doing here? Because at that point, you know what you're doing? You're hurting the church of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they were told to get rid of the leaven out of their church. Right. If you're caught up in that sin, you have leaven in your life, you can't be pleasing to God. You know what you're doing? You're hindering the church. How many of us want to be put in a position of hindering God's bride, Jesus' bride? He doesn't take too kindly to that. Husbands, would you be okay if somebody was just hurting your wife, beating them up, tearing them down? No, you'd be fighting mad. Jesus Christ gets fighting mad about his church. He is a vengeful and jealous God of his church. So if you're so caught up into sin, what are you doing here? You don't want to please God. Now, I'm not saying leave. I'm not saying get out. I'm saying get your heart right so that God doesn't have to kick you out. It hurts a church to exclude people. It hurts a church to put them out for the destruction of the flesh. It should hurt a church to have to break fellowship. You know, it's needed sometimes. It should never be a joyous occasion to break fellowship. But it has to be done to preserve the body. God has to punish sin, or else it would be okay with it. And God can't be okay with sin. But why do we put him in that position so often? Why don't we just get rid of it? Why don't we let God forgive us? Again, Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You get to choose. You get to decide what you're going to do with your life. That is the mercy and that is the love of God, the free will that we have. You get to decide it. God's not going to force you to do it. So what is your decision going to be? And are you sure you want to make that decision? We make decisions all day. It says, you know, daily we have to choose one thing, what we're going to do each day. Are you choosing to serve God? Are you choosing that God's not good enough for you? Are you choosing to be okay with God and accept what he says and ask for forgiveness and get rid of the sin in your life, to put to death, to mortify the deeds of the flesh? Or do you not care? I can't make the decision for you. I can't tell you. God's not going to force you to do it. But what are you going to choose? You know, turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. At this point, they had to make the decision of who they're going to serve. You have to make that same decision of who you're going to serve. And you might think, yeah, I've made that decision. Guess what? Just saying, I want to serve God, means nothing if you don't actually put it into practice. Just saying, yeah, I want to get saved, does nothing if you don't actually accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Saying, yeah, I want to get rid of the sin, and then making no changes will do nothing for you. God doesn't want just your mouth. He wants your actions. He wants you to actually do something. So my question to you, are you going to do something? Or are you just going to say it with your mouth? Because you can say it with your mouth, and you can lie to God, and you can lie to people around you. You can lie to yourself. God sees through it. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You can say all you want. God knows the truth. God knows your heart. So don't you know, be all apologetic. Don't make a big show if you're not going to mean it. Don't go to God and say, God, forgive me, because he knows if you're lying or not. If you actually want to make a difference, make that difference. How do we do it? Well, turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, and starting verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. If you're serious, you want to ask forgiveness of God, get on your knees, get rid of the sin, go talk to God, get that forgiveness, and then walk the life that he wants you to walk. He says, hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to make a difference? Get into the word of God and let God start changing your life. Let God be the guide that you follow. Because we've been in darkness of sin for far too long. Let's try the light, you know. I sometimes get scared of the dark. I've been in the woods in the dark. It's not my favorite place to be. I like being in the light. God's offering the light. We just have to walk into it. We just have to follow what he's laid out. And you know what that takes away from me? That takes me having to make the decision of saying, well, I am okay with this. I'm okay with that. Make excuses. If you just follow God's will, you don't ever have to make an excuse. If you just do what God says, you know what you don't have to wrestle with? Am I right? Am I wrong? No, just do God's will and you will know for a fact that you are right or you are wrong. He's literally made it as simple as possible. So why are we making it so difficult? So tonight, what are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to harbor that sin, to be away from God, where God hides his face from you? God won't hear your prayer. God says, I don't want you. Or are you going to get taken care of, be forgiven of God, and make a change in your life and start serving God and stand before him being blessed of God because you were right with him at the end of your life? We don't know when God's coming back. We know it's soon. You go look at the examples and the signs, everything points to him coming back right any second now, honestly. So why are you waiting another second longer to be caught up in your sin? Why are you choosing to be miserable another second longer? Lost or saved, why are you choosing to be away from God a second longer when you can get it right and get it changed? We have to choose. I can't make the decision for you, but God's given the grace, God's given the mercy, God's given the love, God's given the playbook, God's given you everything you need. You go look at the mercy and grace of God, how amazing that is. We sing Amazing Grace. It's truly amazing, the grace that God has, the mercy that God has, the love that he has, the forgiveness that he has, the blessings that God can give you if you just follow him. That's all you have to do. And I can say all that, but you actually have to put it into practice. I can stand up here and preach it and say, amen, this is what it needs to do. And I can also go do the exact opposite of what I just told you to do. I still have to make that decision. It's not automatic with God to serve him. You have to choose to do it, but you can do it. He's given you all the tools to do it. So will you do it? Let's stand. Pianist, song leader, come.